The Hard Shoulder on Newstalk.
With the all-new Nissan Juke. The coupe crossover by Nissan. Nissan. Innovation that excites.
It is that time of the week where we bring you the best of the box and the box office. John Fardy and Sue Murphy, as always, have joined me with their movie and TV selections. You're very welcome. Both Happy New Year. I'm going to keep saying it, I think, until today. Today is my cutoff.
Sounds fair to me. Happy New Year to you.
Yeah, that is also true, Sue. That is, like, we'll bring a bit of joy here into people's lives. We'll start with you. So who else would we start with? TV The Great. It's on Sunday, Channel 4, 9 p.m.
I am loving this. This is on 4OD. So this is actually a good couple of things that are coming out over the last couple of weeks, and this is one of the best. I don't know if you remember, a few months ago, Helen Mirren did a production of Catherine, which was the Catherine the Great, and it was just... It was really, I picked up my phone halfway through it and I didn't go back to it. And I did not do that. This is the complete opposite. So please, if anyone watched that and went, no, that was too boring, this isn't what this is at all. This is like a comedy drama. And Elle Fanning plays a young Catherine who goes to Russia.
A comedy period drama?
Comedy period drama. There's a lot. Wow. There's a lot in that, isn't there?
But period drama, you know, that's what hooks me in.
Yeah, I know. Did you watch Bridgerton?
Mm-hmm. I watched it. Oh, I don't want to, I hate playing the type here that I kind of, that I dismiss a lot of the TV suggestions. Do you know what? I didn't mind it. It was total escapism.
I watched the whole series in like 2 days. I thought it was great. But yeah. Anyway, sorry, back
well,
to
Well, we watched two episodes a night. So like I said, I could give out about it, but we watched it. So that does say something.
Tell us about The Great. Sorry, so it's kind of along those lines. She basically, Elle Fanning plays Catherine. She goes to Russia to marry the Emperor Peter III. And he sees her, he marries her because she's aristocracy, but not too great, is what he calls her. So she's not going to be any kind of threat to him. And when she arrives, he looks at her and says, oh no, this one's not tall enough. Get me a tall one. And walks out of the room and then starts splitting his sides laughing. And you just know, you're like, oh no, this is going to be a... Like, she has all of these great ambitions for her marriage and everything's going to be amazing and romantic and he's going to be wonderful. And then slowly you just see him chipping away at her because he is just a horrible person. And it's actually, it shouldn't be entertaining because of that, but it really is because... Nicholas Hoult is brilliant and he's playing Peter and he just looks like he's having the time of his life being this crazy emperor. And you can just see the cogs starting to turn in her head in the first episode of how the hell am I going to get rid of this guy? It's funny in parts. It looks amazing. Don't be looking to this for any kind of historical reference because apparently the writer, who's the same writer for The Favourite, wrote down all the names of everyone in it, of all the people historically. Mm. And then some of the history around it and then tore it up and just wrote a new story. So there's nothing that's like historically accurate about this at all. But it's very, very enjoyable. I really, really enjoyed it.
It's on Channel 4 at 9 p.m. Can you watch it all on the All 4 player? Or do you have
They released all of the... Like, I don't know if anyone gets a hold of Hulu. All the episodes are up on Hulu. They were released in the States first, but this is weekly on Channel 4. But actually, 4OD is just a great... Or sorry, All 4 now. It's just a great place to go if you're looking for box sets. But this will be every week, unfortunately.
All right, okay. Look, I'm probably going to tune in. Like I said, you had me at period drama. The Great. It's on Sunday, Channel 4, 9 p.m. John... Oh, great. Brilliant, I'm delighted with this. Wild man in time. Let's take a listen.
Welcome to Ireland. Once upon a time, there were two farms. The Muldoon farm, where Rosemary lived, and right down the road was my farm, where my son Anthony asked his lonely question of the stars.
Why did you make me so?
Rosemary Muldoon, besotted with love.
There's these green fields, and there's us. Whatever that is, it holds me here.
Sounds good to me, John. Well, the thumbs up.
Well, it's a clever subverting of the confines of paddywhackery, and it redraws the hermeneutics of stage Irishness through the dialectics of rural poetics. Sorry, those are the wrong notes. This is utter shite. No, this is as bad as we expected. So for people who don't know, this is the much talked about Wild Might and Time, which stars Jamie Dornan and Emily Blunt as two people who are clearly in love with each other but can't get together in a farm somewhere in Mayo in a very unspecified age. Like, presumably it's meant to be now, but there's no cell phones. It's odd when it's set. And the thing is, like, the paddywhackery doesn't bother me that much. Like, who cares, really? Get over it. But it's just a crap movie. It doesn't make any sense whatsoever. And it gives me no joy to say it, because Christopher Walken, who plays the dad of Jamie Dornan, is one of my favourite actors. I went to a play in New York just to see him on stage once. Like, I adore the man. He's one of my favourite actors. And his accent in this is terrible. At times it sounds like he's in The Deer Hunter or something. Like, it's switching between stage Irishness and regular Christopher Walken. The story is terrible. I don't know why it was made. Like, it's as bad as you thought it would be.
Like, will it appeal to any audience? But, like, that kind of... not expat, but that kind of Irish-American audience, might they lap it up?
I think Irish-America, by and large, are probably too clever for this. And that's saying something. Mm-hmm. I'd say the only people this might appeal to are, like, people who are vaguely thinking, Americans who are thinking about coming to Ireland and have some dewy-eyed notion about what it will be like. I think that's the only people. So it might help with tourism. And I get no kick out of saying any of this, because all the people, Emily Blunt, Jamie Dornan, like, they're great actors. I think Jamie Dornan just heard you can be in a picture with Christopher Walken and said yes. And John Hamm's in it as well. And they all just went, yeah, why not? Which I suppose I can get. But, like, and the thing is, the guy who wrote the script wrote Moonstruck and won an Oscar for it. He wrote the play Doubt that was turned into that Meryl Streep movie. So, like, he is serious form. I don't know what's happened. It's like they all had cinematic lobotomies for the making of this.
All right, okay. Yes.
Sorry.
A slight vote of disapproval there from John for Wild Mountain and Thyme. If people want to go and see it, it's out now.
Sorry, it's not on the cinemas, obviously. So I should say it's on video on demand platforms. It's on Google Play, iTunes. So it is out there. It's, if you want to see how bad it is, you can find it.
You can find it, and you have to pay for the pleasure as well. Yes. Sue, Marion.
Yeah, this went out on Monday night and is now available on the player. And it's the documentary about Marion Finucane's life. I find with a lot of these documentaries that they have a lot of talking heads that do, you know, they're, oh, and I remember when she did this and I remember when she did that. And it does away with all of that, and it just speaks to her husband. So it's her story as told by John Clark, who her devoted husband, who was absolutely devastated when she passed away. And it's fantastic because of that, because we all know Marion Finucane, the broadcaster, but this really kind of just gave the personal side to her. And it's shot beautifully. Like, they really took a lot of time and care with this. They went back and found loads of old photos. There's a piece included in it about her late daughter, Sinead, which she never really talked about. She just couldn't speak about her because she was so distraught with the grief after her death. And it's beautiful. It is a beautiful documentary, and there's just some lovely stories from their life in it. And I think I don't think this is even for anyone who's a fan. I think anyone who has a relationship like this or had a relationship will just appreciate his devastation at her loss. It's a really lovely documentary. It was brilliant. It's on the player now, but it was on Monday night.
Oh, yeah, okay. I recommend, Sue recommends everyone to go back and watch it. I taped it. I haven't watched it myself yet.
Oh, it's fantastic. It really is.
Okay. Your next movie pick, John, is Pieces of a Woman. We actually have a clip. Let's take a listen.
I wanted to stay at home. I wanted the baby to decide when she wanted to come.
My daughter came into this world. For the time that she did. And I can't bring her back.
John, I'm not great to watch anything about dead children.
No. Well, that was my thoughts exactly. And my wife sat down with me and 5 minutes in said, I'm not watching this. And
I think I'd be with her. I turn off anything.
let me stay with me for a minute, will you? Okay. And just let me tell you what it's about. And it might possibly change your mind. Maybe not, though. But this is Pieces of a Woman, as you said. And it's Vanessa Kirby, who I'm actually talking to on this week's Screen Time, who's a wonderful actress. People know her playing the young Princess Margaret in The Crown. And the first 30 minutes of this are basically her in labor. And as you heard there, the child doesn't make it. And the first half hour are so intense, and you know what's going to happen. It's very hard watch, but it's not, you know, you don't see a lot of that stuff. But then the movie turns to her not getting on with life, but figuring out if and how she's going to get on with life. And it's, you know, the year's only 6 days old, so I was going to say it's the most powerful thing I've seen in 6 days, but it's the most powerful thing I've seen in a long time. Vanessa Kirby herself doesn't have children. The amount of preparation she went for the labor and the afterwards of the tragedy was huge. She spent times in labor wards talking to parents who'd suffered the loss of a child. She really went deep on it, and it really pays off because it's heart-wrenching and it's very real, I would imagine. And Shia LaBeouf, who at the moment is going through all sorts of problems and appears to be not a terribly nice man, if some of these allegations are to be believed. But it has to be said, he's really good as a dad in this, who doesn't know how to handle things. You know, if you can separate the art from the artist or whatever, he's great as her husband in this. And what happens to them as a couple after this, like, it's a hard watch, but it's incredible. And I say this a lot lately, but I really think she's in with a serious shout for an Oscar nomination, if not an Oscar win, because it's spine tingling. I know Sue's seen it as well.
Sue?
Yeah, I mean, like, for me, and not to bring everyone down, I had a miscarriage a few years ago, and watching it was just, I thought it was going to be too painful to watch. But in some ways, it just taps into that notion of grief when you look, like, obviously, I didn't go through the same experience as her, but it was like she really tapped into that. Like, there's one scene in it where she looks around and she sees a child in a store, and she's just totally, she's just so sad. And you're like, I remember feeling that, because you're like, I'm not going to have that. So it's like, I will give a health warning with it, though. If you did go through something like that, it's a difficult watch because it's very, very real. Like, she is brilliant in it.
Yeah. How can people watch it, John? It's not in cinemas.
No, it's on Netflix from Thursday. And could I just say, without giving any spoilers, but there is, I don't want to say it's in any way a hopeful movie or anything, but once you get through it all, you don't leave as drained as you might think, without giving any spoilers. Do you know what I mean? There is some form of solace to be found in watching it, I would suggest, you know?
It's definitely
on Netflix from tomorrow.
Pieces of a Woman, it's on Netflix, as John said, from tomorrow. Before we let you go, Sue, your final TV pick, Headspace Guide to Meditation.
Yes, I just threw this in because I don't know if you use the Headspace app, but it's fantastic. I used it years ago.
And I don't,
was
so...
really into meditation and all that kind of stuff. But it's basically a guided meditation, but it's all kinds of different guided meditations. So there's one for sleep, there's one for stress, there's one, you know, there's all different types of meditation. But this guy is a former Buddhist monk who set up the app, but now Netflix have done a series with him. So he has different guided meditations in each episode and why he's doing that particular guided meditation. But I just thought at the moment, with lockdown happening and stuff like that, this actually just gives you 10 minutes of space in the day that will actually give you a bit of a help. And it's very, very good. And he's a great voice as well. It is very relaxing. Like, even if you're not mad into meditation, it's just very relaxing to watch. So that was my recommendation.
All right.
Netflix.
The Headspace Guide to Meditation on Netflix. John Fardy, Sue Murphy, listen, thank you both very much this week, guys. As always, we'll talk to you again the same time next week. Stay with us here on The Hard Shoulder. Gavin McLaughlin will have all your business news next.